Hey guys, Chris Appleton here with the Reach Podcast, and I am excited to get into this week's podcast. I think it's going to be an exciting time, so I just want to get right into it. Now, there's a few things that I do want to just share during the intro segment here. First of all, I want to do something fun for the holidays, okay? So I want my friends and listeners to share with me their favorite holiday memories. Okay. So if you have a great holiday memory, a story, something that was, you know, really a beautiful holiday story, or if you have maybe a crazy holiday memory, it can be funny, it can be inspirational. It's up to you. And if you'd like to have your story shared on the show, just voice message me or video message me in Messenger on Facebook. All you've got to do is just record it like it would be a message and just share the story. And then I will listen to it and put it right out onto the show. It'll be a lot of fun. And you can voice message me or video message me in Messenger. On the next podcast, I'll play the submissions. This should be a ton of fun, something you could share with your family during the holidays. And, you know, just make sure you have fun with it. No pressure or anything like that. The more submissions, the better. This is meant to be a fun experience for you, the listeners. And you could even just do a holiday shout out. You could do a testimony, anything like that goes. And I'm looking forward to hearing your submissions on that. So make sure that you guys, you know, share that with me as well. Those are going to be a lot of fun. Now I'm going to be doing some awesome interviews coming up. They're, you know, I'm pretty excited about, you know, the shows that we're going to be having going forward, and I'm going to keep it going right through the holidays. So, you know, Christmas, anything like that isn't going to stop the show. We're going to just keep going away. I might do something special for Christmas, some kind of special Christmas episode or something, but we're just going to keep it moving right along. Now, I am thankful because I have a little office set up in my house here. My wife gave me permission to kind of take a corner here, and I've created a little podcast studio, a little writing space where I can come in, be creative, and I am really digging it. It is just kind of a place where I can come in at any time. Before, when I was doing the podcast, I had to set everything up, set the mic up, set everything, you know, and then tear it all back down and put it all away. Now I can just leave it set up, come in, record when I want to, get a segment, get a thought out, type, you know, a part of my book or whatever's happening, which I'm working on chapter two now. It is coming along great. Chapter one is pretty intense, but I really feel like the Lord's hand is on it. I shared it with Pastor Ruben, and my pastor really had a lot of good things to say about it. And I was just thankful for that. And I'm just, you know, I am thankful for my pastor. He's just been an awesome person in my life, and I'm just really thankful for him and his guidance and his mentorship and just being an awesome spiritual father to me. I'm really thankful for Pastor Ruben Reyna. He is an awesome man of God. So I have some great interviews coming up, some great show ideas coming up. Today we're going to do the devotional, and then I have a lot that I want to share on Kanye West. So we're going to get right into this episode. I hope that you're enjoying the Reach. Now, I do want to say this. If you're enjoying this podcast, share it. Do me a favor. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, get the word out there, especially if there's an episode that you really liked, or if there's something about the show that you really like. If I'm putting comments out there, posts out there. Make sure you comment. Make sure you like. Make sure you share. And we want this thing to grow, because I can only do my part of it. But you, as the listener, you guys are going to be able to do a whole lot more with it. And it makes it a lot more powerful when you guys are sharing it and you guys are spreading the word about it as well. So we are going to get right into the devotional portion of this. And I hope you guys enjoy it. It is actually part 5 of I Declare War by Levi Lusco. This is the last part of this 5-part devotional. And so we're going to get right into that and share part 5 of I Declare War. I Declare War by Levi Lusco. This is part 5. This is the last part of the devotional. The title of this 5th part of I Declare War, which you can find on the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. I recommend the YouVersion Bible app. It has awesome daily scriptures. It has devotionals. It has a ton of different translations. It has my favorite translation of the Bible, which is the Passion Translation. They've got the whole New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. They're working on the Old Testament. But I love the Passion Translation. It breaks it down in a fresh way. Really like it. But this is part 5 of Levi Lusco's I Declare War, which you can find right there on your Bible app. It says, the title of this week's devotional is Never Bring a Horse to a Tank Fight. There is something about 2 a.m. I don't think the devil takes much time off in the day, but I know for sure he pulls double shifts at night. I can't go back far enough to recall a day where I didn't struggle with the terror by night that causes my stomach to flutter, my skin to glisten with sweat, as I think about all the different ways I could die at my own hands. I lurch from my sleep with a sickening quickness, like an unbuckled test dummy in a simulated collision. My mind races and my eyes burn. The voice in my head telling me I'm going to kill myself sounds like me, but it is not on my side. Variations of this 2 a.m. ritual have played out as far back as I can remember. This is war. These kind of nights remind me that this battle isn't one that can be won alone. I don't know if you can relate to me on all my issues. Maybe you've never had to towel down like you just finished an Orange Theory workout in your sleep. But I have a feeling that the things you've been declaring war on can trap you in the same dark, helpless cage. The cage that says it's all a nice idea, but you'll never change. You'll never get through a day without yelling at your kids. You'll never kick the negative self-talk. You'll never beat the depression, the anxiety, or the vicious argumentative cycle with your wife. You can't beat this. This is too much for you. In and of yourself, in your own strength and in your own power, those statements might ring true. Positive thinking is important. So is watching how you speak and minding your habits. But if the practical tools we've discussed, if those practical tools we've discussed are all you walk away with, then these 5 days have simply been self-help. There is something much better than self-help. There's God's help. You have enormous backup and firepower at your disposal. Don't try to fight these battles in your own strength or by relying on your own lung power. When your breath is taken away, you need to rely on God for a second wind. The first wind is the natural air that was given to you at creation when God breathed into the dust he formed us out of. The second wind is the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to us after Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says no weapon formed against you can prosper. You are more powerful than you think, but not on your own. Listen, you are no match for the war that you're facing, but that war is no match for God. Discover what David said is possible when you are willing to call in God's help as you declare war on all that holds you back. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. That's Psalms 18, 34 through 45. He's got the power. You just need to ask for it. He is a good father. He won't give you a tarantula if you ask for a fruit roll-up, but he will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for him. Remember, you can't do God's work without God's power. You can't do God's work without God's power. And a lot of times, this is just my thoughts on what I just read. We're trying to function in spiritual disciplines, but we do it in our own flesh and in our own strength. And the Spirit of God is not involved in that. The power of God is not involved in that. It's the power of your own self-will and self-determination. But when we just surrender to God, the Bible says in that his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. His strength is not made perfect in our strength. His strength is not made perfect in how good we are. His strength is not made perfect in us having it all together. His strength is not made perfect in us doing the right thing and saying the right thing and being the right thing. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses, in the most weakest point of our life, in the most dark part of our life, lonely part of our life, the point where we feel the most despair and the most broken, and there's hurt and there's pain and there's confusion and there's all of these things, and we don't know where to turn to. We don't know what to say. We don't know where to go or what to do. And all we're surrounded by is weakness and weak decisions, and we feel like we're just messing it up and we're just blowing it. In that moment of weakness is where his strength is made perfect for you. Or maybe God is calling you to do something that you feel is too big for you to do. Maybe there's a platform that God has for you, and a place and a people that God wants you to speak to, and a thing that God wants you to do. And there's a weakness and there's a fear and there's an anxiety. As you step out onto that platform, and as you step out in front of that people, and as you step out in front of that mission and that place that God is calling you to do, in that moment where you step up and you feel weak and you feel like you can't do it, at that very moment is when his strength is made perfect for you. Maybe you have a sin in your life, and there's a compromise, and there's an area that you can't overcome, and there's something that just continues to attack you and try to tear you down, and and you know it, and you feel guilty and you feel condemned. In those moments of weakness, if you would just surrender to God, His strength is made perfect in that weakness. All we've got to do is learn to surrender to Him. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You're trying to white knuckle sin in your life and just hold on until you know you're going to mess up one more time. And I'm just going to do as good as I can and be as good as I can because I know eventually I'm going to blow it. I always do. And what we've got to do is understand that His strength is made perfect in those times of weakness. Trust God. Surrender to Him. And understand that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I want to read these scriptures. We already read a lot from Psalms, but in Matthew 3:11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is Jesus talking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not Jesus talking. This is John the Baptist talking in Matthew. And he was baptizing the people. He says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Psalms chapter 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus. And he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6. And this is verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then, of course, we already read Psalms 18, verses 34 through 45. This was an awesome Bible plan. And I really encourage you to read it yourself. It's on the Bible app. Of course, we went through it here. We're going to be starting a new one next week. But I I really think you should take the time. It's 5 days, and this next week, just go over the whole thing again on your own. Go over that whole plan. Take the next 5 days, read it again, and let the Lord minister to you and strengthen you, because you know what? You're in a fight. You're in a battle. You may not realize that you are, but you are. And it's a battle for your soul, and it's a battle for eternity. Jesus is coming back. We have no time to play with sin. We have no time to yield to temptation and just continue to live the way that we used to live. We have to activate the Spirit of God in our life and say, you know what? In my weakness, in all of these problems, in all these situations, God, your strength is made perfect right there. Give me strength, God. Help me. Encourage me. Build me into the man that you've called me to be, or the woman that you've called me to be. God bless you. That's the devotion. We're going to get right into the next segment here. For this next segment, I want to get into some thoughts here about Kanye West. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people that are loving him and a lot of people that are hating him. And there's fans that were big time fans of him when he was in secular music and doing all the stuff he was doing. And now there's big time fans of him, you know, and it carries over into Christianity. So they feel like they're able to listen to Kanye West now because he's putting Christian music out. And it's really not because of anything important that you're liking him or liking his music. It's just because you've always been a fan anyway, whether he was saying he was Jesus, saying he was God. Now he's proclaiming Jesus and you have a reason to listen to his music, which I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a stretch as well. Who knows? But then you have other people who, like, I heard Jesus Walks and a couple songs, like she has a light skin friend, something about Michael Jackson or something. I've heard that line in music, which is pretty creative. I mean, he's had some stuff, but I've never really been a Kanye West fan. I always thought, nah, he's in the Illuminati. And, you know, I mean, what do I, him, Jay-Z, all them guys, I'm not really fans of people that are proclaiming themselves to be in the Illuminati and all this other stuff. And there's certain rituals and different things that they follow in their on when they're on award shows and all this other stuff that seemed like Satanism. And I just stayed away from it. It was never really for me. Now that he's coming to Christianity and he's, you know, giving his life to the Lord and making a change and making a difference, I was all for it as a brother in the Lord saying, let's help this young Christian and help him along. And hopefully that my prayer was that the Lord would put the right people in his life that can speak to him and guide him and disciple him and direct him. And then he goes on Joel Osteen's. Now, here's the thing. I was excited to see the Sunday service. This was the first time I had ever watched it. And I was thinking, okay, this is going to be great. I'm all for it. It was a Sunday night. I didn't have anything else to do. I was just going to lock in and I wanted just to feel the presence of the Lord and feel the glory of God and worship with these guys and see what God was going to do. And I watched the interview and the interview kind of triggered some alarms in my spirit. You know, some of the stuff he said, I was just like, well, okay. You know, so first I want to share a couple of the things that he said that kind of alarmed me. He said the devil stole all the good artists, which that's okay. There are some amazing Christian artists that are out there. Devil didn't steal all the good artists. Okay. But this mentality of the devil stealing all the good artists, you start to feel like Satan's more powerful. This is what he said. And he said, you start to feel like Satan is the most powerful. You start to feel like if you service God, that in life, it means you will not prosper. And the only way to prosper is in service to fame, he said. It's like the devil stole all the good producers, all the good musicians, all the good artists, all the good designers, all the good business people, and said, you've got to come over and work for me. Okay. And it shows you right there that even though he wasn't a Christian, he's not new to the spiritual warfare and understanding of the dark realm. He's not new to the understanding that he was working for Satan. And then to use the term, feel like if you service God, it's just a weird way of putting that. And he's very careful with how he speaks. So everything he said was kind of meaningful. So that was kind of the first thing that triggered something where I was just like, okay. Then he said he's the greatest artist God ever created. And this is what he said that I really didn't like. He said, now the trend, the shift is going to change, he said. Jesus won the victory. I've told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now the greatest artist that God ever created is now working for him. Now this is where the crowd cheers and erupts, you know, in the spiritual arena. Kanye smiles. And he elaborated on how God has guided him and chosen him to spread the gospel on this elevated platform, which is fine. But this is what really triggered some alarms in me, to think, to have someone say that you know about my cockiness and you know about, he said, you know, already I've told you guys about my arrogance and my cockiness, and God is now going to use that for him. And I was thinking, no, that doesn't sit right with me. Like, God doesn't use pride and cockiness. He actually, the Bible says, a proud look, that that's something that God hates. So all this was alarming to me. Okay, I'm going to keep going. He said, close on Sunday is the hardest record ever made. That's probably, I mean, I think that was, you know, I mean, it is a good, that is a good song. But the praise that he was giving to himself was alarming. Now, here's where I started to go to think here. Lucifer was in charge of the angels worshiping God. He was in charge of the music. And what got into Lucifer's life or his heart was pride. So anything, even music-wise, that seems like it could be giving glory to God, if it's done out of a sense of pride and arrogance, is it really bringing glory to God? Or is it bringing glory to myself? So I'm saying this just to be watchful. Now, he also said that, and this is what really kind of got me going here. This is the reason why I'm sharing what I'm sharing, because I don't know if he'll ever hear this, and it's fine. He would have probably already turned it off if he was listening to this. But I'm saying this, all of this, out of love. It's not out of hate, and it's just to share my what I saw. He said that The Life of Pablo was, I guess, the last album that he put out before he went crazy and was in the mental institution. He said while he was in the mental institution, he wrote Start a Church, and he drew a church, and he knew that God was telling him to start a church in Calabasas. And that's when he dyed his hair blonde. He started going crazy. And all of that had happened. But he said that there were these Christian guys that he brought around him to help him make this album. And he wanted Life of Pablo to be a gospel album. And the guys that were around him, this were the words he used, that these Christians are so beaten into submission against sharing their faith. And he began to reflect on the Life of Pablo, and he wanted that to be a gospel album, and he didn't totally know how to make a gospel album. And the Christians that were around him were too, I would say, beaten into submission by society to not speak up and profess the gospel to me because I was a superstar, he said. Before adding, now everybody started applauding and, you know, clapping, but the only superstar is Jesus. So as I sat there saying, I'm going to make a gospel album, there were Christians that were there. So this is what my concern is. You have a guy who's not new to the understanding of the spiritual realm, but he's new to the understanding of Christianity and the platform that he's on now. He's changed platforms and he needs discipleship. He needs someone to tell him that the pride and the arrogance and all that stuff, it has to be emptied out. Me, when I came to the Lord, I was a drug addict. I was homeless. I was messed up. I was violent. I was angry. I was a mess. I was confused and lost and all that. I was addicted and run down. And I had to go into a home, into a men's home, Victory Life Men's Home on 40 West Rose Street in Stockton, California, and empty myself out and learn the Bible and learn discipleship and learn obedience and learn humility and learn all these things. And I know that that was my backstory. I wasn't one of the, you know, a huge celebrity and all this stuff. I can only imagine how hard it is to really humble yourself when you're this gifted and you have, he made $68 million this year. You know, how is it? I mean, I'm sure it's very hard to humble yourself when you're making that much money. But if the Christians that are around him, in his eye, the way he saw these guys are so beaten up by society and by the media that they would urge him not to use the name of Jesus on the Life of Pablo album or to even let society know that it is a gospel album. If these are the people that are around at the beginning stages of his Christian walk, how can this last? We've got to pray for Kanye West that the Lord brings him men, brings him even just a spiritual father, someone that can guide him and direct him and confront him and tell him to put away the appearance of evil. Because that was just the interview segment. That's not even getting into the actual performance, and it was 2.5 hours or something. I mean, it had so many viewers. It has all this. I turned it off after 20 minutes. I couldn't take it anymore because it showed the eye of Horus, which is the Illuminati eye. It's an eye of the false god Ra, which is an Egyptian god. It's an Illuminati symbol. I've never seen an aerial camera view. I've watched Joel Osteen. I listen to him on Sirius XM. I love Joel Osteen. I've never seen an aerial view where the camera's looking straight down at him while he's on the platform, straight down. And they showed that same straight down camera view 100 times in that 20 minutes. They just kept showing that eye and showing that eye and showing that eye and showing that eye. And you may think, well, they did that to get people talking. Why, if it's about glorifying God, do you want to talk about an eye when you're there to worship
God and live and honor him and glorify him and sing to him. And if it's all about Jesus, why are you showing this false God's eye on the platform of the largest church in America? Why? Because it's what the Illuminati is requiring him to do. And if there's no Christians that are around him that are bold enough to tell him that you have to, if it's going to be a gospel album, you've got to proclaim Jesus, then how are they going to talk to him about his arrogance, talk to him about putting away the appearance of evil, and stop with the Illuminati symbolism and all this other stuff? Just like I had to be emptied out of drugs and alcohol and all of these things that I had to battle with, he's got to be emptied out of all of this stuff that he was a part of. Who's going to confront? There's no transformation without confrontation. Who's going to confront this brother in love and help him through these issues in his life? So that's my concern, and that's my prayer for Kanye West. That he would honestly have men around him that are willing to say, hey, man, I know that you may not mean this as evil, but it looks evil. And the Bible says to shun the appearance of evil. And I know that when you're saying the pride and the arrogance, that's all you know. And that arrogance and that cockiness is what got you to the top of your industry. But you're not trying to be at the top of the industry anymore. Your life is to proclaim the gospel. Paul, you know, there were men, John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he can increase. It's a different platform now. It's not the platform of the world where you've got to be arrogant and you've got to be cocky and the Lord does not want to use your arrogance and your ego. He does not want to use that. Your influence, your voice, the giftings, the abilities, all that is there. God placed that there, but God did not give you your arrogance. It did not come from him. And it does not belong in your life anymore. Now, I know some people are probably going to say, man, you're being hard. But no, I don't think I am. I think that this is something that, I mean, someone needs to tell them. Probably will never be me. And if I met the guy, I would share with them love and just be a good example. But if they asked me my thoughts and to share, I would share exactly what I just shared right now. Because we've got to take care of this brother. He's a brother in the Lord. Iron sharpens iron, and we've got to be there to correct and help one another. So these are my thoughts on Kanye West. I love the album. I love all, but he's got guys that are on the album too. Now he's bringing Dr. Dre in and all this stuff. I'm cautious about all that. You're saying that you only want people that are in the album that are not fornicating and all this other stuff, and then you bring in Dr. Dre? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't resonate with me. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to prove to Christianity that you have influence. You don't have to prove to the world that you have influence. We already know you have influence, Kanye. We know. What would be more powerful than anything else is to watch you decrease and then God increase. Can you decrease, Kanye? For this segment, I want to do a movie review on a Netflix original movie that came out a couple weeks ago called The King. It is an amazing movie. I'm going to get right into this review on The King. The King is a movie about Hal, who is a wayward prince and a reluctant heir to the English throne. He has turned his back on the royal life, is living among the people, but when his tyrannical father dies, Hal is crowned King Henry V and is forced to embrace the life he had previously tried to escape. Now, the young king must navigate the palace politics, chaos, and war his father left behind, and the emotional strings of his past life, including his relationship with his closest friend and mentor, the aging alcoholic knight, John Falstaff, who is played by Joel Edgerton. Now, this movie is good, man. It's about a young man who is a fighter, and he is, he was a good fighter and he was a good soldier, but he was feeling like he was fighting for the wrong reasons and fighting the wrong battles for the wrong reasons. So he just left everything. And when you watch the movie, I don't want to give away spoilers or anything like that, but it is so impactful. The reason why he comes back to become king, and then everything that starts to unfold, and he learns, he becomes smarter and smarter, It's just a movie on leadership development and watching a young man develop into a leader, into a king. And I recommend young men to watch this movie, man. It's powerful. I mean, everyone will enjoy it, but this movie, The King, it is something about, it's just a powerful film and just takes you on a ride. I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's not going to be like a Joker review or anything, but I highly, you know how Joker, I did a long review, but I didn't recommend you watch it. This one, I'm going to do a short review because I recommend you see this movie. It's right on Netflix. It's one that you probably see and go, maybe not. No, watch the movie. The battle scenes are intense. He gives a speech that's just powerful. He's a young, you know, small little guy that you wouldn't think would be this powerful. But the dude, he does his thing, man. So watch the movie on the life of Henry V and how he becomes king and develops into something powerful. It's an amazing movie. Let me know what you guys think of it when you see it. I want to hear some reviews, see some comments on it. And it is a great, great movie. All right. So go see The King on Netflix. It's better than all that other stuff you're watching on Netflix. Go see The King. It's clean. It's a pretty good movie. Good message. Go watch it. Holla at your boy. I wanna burn for you.
as a sacrifice. I want to burn for you, only you. So clean my hands, purify my body. I want to burn for you, only for you. Say my life.
That's a quick little excerpt from Maverick City, Volume 2. It's a song called Refiner, written and performed by Chandler Moore, Stephanie Gretzinger. And it is just an amazing album. It's a worship album of the week here. Make sure you check it out on Spotify. Just a powerful worship album. There's part one and part two, and both of them are just amazing. So make sure you guys take the time. You can find it on YouTube as well if you don't have Spotify, but it is just awesome worship, man. You definitely just get taken in. This song is called Refiner. And then there is another one that was just... The whole album is awesome. So you just want to let me know what you guys think about that album and what your favorite song is on it. I want to hear from you. Let me know what you think about it. And, you know, it's Maverick City, Volume 2. We already previewed Volume 1. Hope you guys listen to that one. But I want to hear some feedback from the Reachers. Tell me, guys. What do you guys think about everything that's been mentioned on this podcast today, the music and, you know, especially I want to hear about this worship album. Let me know what you guys think. Well, guys, that was the podcast, and I feel like we went through a lot here, and I really enjoyed myself, have my little Kanye West rant, but you know, I want to hear back from you guys. I want to know what you guys thought about this, what your thoughts are on what I said. If you think I'm out of line or if you think that you agree, I mean, either way, I want to know because I want to have the point of this podcast is to get conversations going. I don't want it just to be one-sided where you just hear my thoughts. I want to know what you guys think as well. And, you know, create that dialogue and that open space to where we can, you know, even if we disagree, I want to discuss it. I want to talk about it. I want to find out, you know, where we're at and how we're thinking and how we're seeing things, because we've got to be aware of what's going on. If you notice in this podcast, I reach into different areas of society. We're going to reach into the movie industry and talk about it and discuss it. Reach into, you know, the music industry, talk about it, discuss it. Reach into politics, which we really haven't gotten into a lot of that stuff either. But that's where I feel like the ultimate chess move for Kanye was 2 years ago. When he was going crazy and all this, wearing a Make America Great hat and doing all that and saying that he wanted to run for president, everybody was like, this dude's out of his mind. There's no way this guy's going to run for president and win. And he kept saying, I'll win. Think about it. If he can sway the Christian, charismatic, and conservative vote to actually back him as a Christian brother, that's an ultimate chess move for everything he's doing. So we really need to be aware of what's going on with our brother Kanye here to make sure that he's not just playing everybody just so he could become president and have an ulterior agenda. It's part of a globalist system. You never know. I'm just throwing things out there to get people talking. But I want to know your views on this. We're going to talk a little bit about that on the next podcast.
about the political side of Kanye's reach and what's really happening here, because we've got to be aware of everything, guys. We can't just blindly follow and not have enough of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth in us to speak out and say, hey, you know, the life, they told him you can make a gospel album without being anything to do with God. These are the Christians that were around him. We've got to pray that the Lord gives him the right people to guide him and disciple him and direct him the right way. So anyway, God bless you guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you share this, like this. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere. Make sure to tell people, send the links, share it out there. Let's get this thing going. I really appreciate the people who have given me feedback. Let's get this podcast going even stronger. Love you guys. Now I want to end with this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hardship is going on in your life, stand strong, be encouraged, and move forward. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Love you.